have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
God be the glory. Hallelujah. Well, once more again, we're here on For His Glory. I'm your co-host, Apostle Brian Blassingame. I'm here with the host, the lovely Dr. Kimberly Kim. And we're here to just praise God and worship Him in spirit and in truth, to break the word of life, or the bread of life. And we're just here to just admonish the Lord, acknowledge Him, and we hope that you enjoyed as much as we enjoyed as well. And we just thank God for another opportunity to be able to come forth and bring you the word of God. Tonight I want to talk about how God does things and how God leads us. Basically, how He has promised to make crooked straight, and how He makes the darkness light concerning His people. So we were looking at that, and we're just looking forward to what God is going to do and what he's saying during this hour and during this time. So before we get started, we'd like to have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you, Lord God, for another opportunity to bring forth your word. We thank you, Lord God, that your word will go forth, that it won't come back void, but that it will accomplish the purpose in which it was sent. I thank you, Lord God, that it will find good ground. We thank you, Lord God, that not only will it find good ground, we thank you, Lord God, that it will produce fruit, and that the fruit will remain. And Father God, in Jesus' name, we just ask that you be with us, that you lead us, and that you guide us. And we've asked, Lord God, in Jesus' name, that you even touch and bless our producer. Give her strength in her body, because she's a busy lady. I tell you, she's always doing things. She's always helping others, and she's always got a hand to the plow. So, God, give her strength. Continue to meet all her needs according to your riches and glory, which is in Christ Jesus. And we give you praise. We give you honor and glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, like I said, tonight we will talk about something that's delightful. And we'll talk about how God leads us, how God guides us. That is when we allow. Yeah, I said that. I put that in there too, because a lot of times we don't always allow God to guide us in the right way. Matter of fact, there is a particular scripture that talks about God, when he says, well, you know, don't be as the mule, or don't be as the donkey or the ass, that, you know, when he say go right, you go left. When he say go left, you go right. You know, he's talking about having to have a bit in your mouth in order to control or pull one way or another. And sometimes I think as believers, some of us might need that, because some things, a lot of times we get distracted. A lot of times, not only do we get distracted, sometimes we miss God. I've done it, and I always, you know, been on purpose when I miss God. It's just that I may have heard God and thought that was me instead of it actually being God. Because sometimes He speaks third person, and I say, well, you know what, I'm just going to go this way, and I end up going this way, and then find out I run into a traffic jam or, you know, something crazy, because, you know, we don't realize that the very things that we think God don't think about or He don't care about, He'd be on it. He'd be, you know, He'd be directing. He'd be leading. He'd be guiding. And sometimes we just don't acknowledge what it is He's doing. Or we don't acknowledge what He's saying, or we don't, we just don't look unto Him for guidance. A lot of times, you know, we try to tell God what it is we want, what it is we desire, and He's like, no, that's not what I got for you. And so we, a lot of times, bump our heads against the wall or slip our ring in against the asphalt, and because we decided to go our own way, because we decided to lean upon the arm of the flesh instead of the Spirit of God. So tonight I want to start off at Psalms 43, coming from the Word of God. Psalms 43 and Psalm 43 and 3, verse 3. And this is God said, I send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me, let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacle. This is David talking. And he's saying, you know, he's sending out light. If we think about it, at one time or another, we've all been in darkness. Whether it was mentally or whether it was spiritually or whether it was physically, we've been in darkness at one time or another. And even and when we're in that darkness, we need light to be able to maneuver. And David's heart is in the right place because he's seeking out light and he knows he's seeking out truth. And he said, let those two things lead me. Let light, let truth lead me. You don't really want a lie to lead you, because a lie can send you anywhere. Oh, and most likely a lie is going to send you somewhere where there's going to be some kind of damage, hurt, harm. And sometimes it's going to take you away from the things of God or the presence of God. I didn't know I was getting into that, but it is so true. Even in what we recall in some of our, I know, relationships. Yeah, even in some of our relationships. If we go back and we look at different relationships that we've had in the past, some of our most painful relationships, the ones that actually hurt us the most, if you really look at it, it's because a lot of times we was involved with someone who manipulated us or lied to us. And they kept us on a string. They dug up the string and they made it seem as good. But we allowed them to bamboozle us because we didn't want that lie that they was telling us to be a lie. We wanted whatever it was that was telling us to actually be the truth. And then when we found out that the lies that they had been telling was actually lies, those are the things that had taken us into a different direction. And it took us farther away from the things probably of God. Yeah. In my case, it did. And it probably, yeah. And it kept me longer than what I intended on being out there, too, because, you know, at the time you're caught up in your emotions, you're caught up in something that you feel like, you know, it's going to work, it's going to last forever. And then you find out, excuse me, that what you thought was truth is a lie. So he's got two things, light and truth. He's actually asking truth to be his light, to guide him and lead him and bring him to thy holy hill and to thy tabernacle. The holy hill, the place where God dwells, where God, where his presence is. He wants to be in God's presence and to thy tabernacle, the house of God. He wants to be there. I don't know. I can't speak for everyone. But recently, more so than ever, I have found myself being more appreciative of just being able to come into the house of God. I don't know if it has something to do with the pandemic when we shut down and we couldn't go to the house of God. We had to do it through Zoom, or we had to do it through Facebook or whatever. But once, you know, I could understand really more and more how David felt when he said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I a lot of times when I come into the house of God now, a lot of times I begin to get full. I begin to have this thanksgiving in my heart that I was able, you know, well being, healthy enough, no accidents, nothing kept me from getting into the house of God. And I just thank God for being able to come into his house and enjoy that presence. I know a lot of people, well, you can get it here, you can get it there on TV, and you know, and you can. But the word does say, forsake not the assembly of your brethren coming together. There's still a certain thing that takes place and happens when you come together corporately to worship and praise God in spirit and in truth. But David is talking about being led, or allowing God to lead him, which is a very good, and I'm not going to say good, only good, but it's also a safe thing. He said, then will I go to the altar of God, unto God, my exceeding joy. Yes, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. He said he's going to the altar of God, unto God, my exceeding joy. I was talking to another good friend of mine, Pastor Sheely. I've had him on here a couple of times. And as we was talking, I made a statement. It just popped about my mouth. And I said, there is no other life besides the believer's life. There is no other life besides living the believer's life. That's just how good God has been to me. I've been on both sides of his thing, both sides of the track. And there's no other life to live besides the Christian life, besides the believer's life. I mean, I've been on both sides of it. I've done the party thing. I've smoked the pot thing, the woman thing. But nothing takes the place of this life through Christ. And when I look back at it, when I was on the other side of the track, the whole time I was trying to fulfill a pleasure or fulfill a need, what I was trying to do was trying to fulfill a void that was in my life that only Jesus could fill. I don't know. I know there's some more out there. I know there's some more out there that can identify with what I just said. But we're talking about how God likes to prepare a way for us. He likes to go before us. He likes to prepare a way. He likes to make a smooth place or where a rough place smooth. He likes to make a bumpy place move, a rough place move, a curvy plane. He likes to make it straight. He likes for us to be able to be at ease, to be able to relax, to be able to rest in him. You know, I was a long time as a believer not really knowing how important in the eyes of God for us to be able to rest. There's a lot of stuff that God does. I didn't even know I was going to get here. That God does for us and to us and through us during the time of us resting. During the time of us resting, a lot of times God is speaking to us. He's speaking to us. A lot of times he speaks to us through dreams and through visions. I talked about that before. But also, that's the time that you're still And during those times that you're still, that's another time that he ministers to your body. There's another time, those are the times that sometimes healing begin to take place. Sometimes he wants us to be able just to rest in him so that he can minister to us. One way, one shape, one form, or another. But a lot of times with us, we have in our minds that, and we're hearing it so much now, we hear it so much now that a lot of us think we have to go and hit that grind. You know, the grind. But if we allow God to lead us, if we'll stay obedient, I believe that's somewhere in Isaiah. He said, if you be willing and if you be obedient, he said, I will allow you to eat the fat of the lean. If you be willing and if you be obedient, he said, I'll let you eat the fat of the land. The fat of the land means the wealthy part, the healthy part. And all he's really doing is requiring that you be willing and that you be obedient. He don't ask a whole lot from us. But, of course, I don't think we're the most simplest thing to deal with. I've often, you know, looked at others, and I've often looked at myself and thought, good God, I'm glad that God is God and that I'm not God, because there'd be some problems if I was God. Sitting with certain people and probably with myself also, there'd be some problems if I was God. Let's look at Psalms 19 also. No. Psalms 43. My bad. Only Psalms 43. Psalms 43. Done in the 19th verse. I said Psalms. That was wrong. I meant Isaiah 43 and 19. Forgive me. Here God says, behold, I will do a new thing, and now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Let's look at this a little bit. He said, I will do a new thing, a new thing. And I know Ecclesiastes says there's nothing new underneath the sun, but it may not be new to God, but it definitely may be new to you. Definitely may be new to you. And he says, now it should spring forth. Now it should spring forth. Sometimes when God says now, his nows may be a little bit farther away than what we're looking for, because we said now, we're thinking right now. But I'm learning that sometimes we have to be prepared to receive what it is God is doing. Yeah, I'm still learning that one. And the blessing is, it's closer than what you realize, but if we can just get things separate or prepared, then the release will come. You know, that's some stuff I'm dealing with right now. I'm trying to get some stuff, you know, this way and that way, because I know what God has been saying. I know what God has been doing. But he said it will spring forth. And this is another thing that catches my eye. He said, I will even make a way in the wilderness. Do you not know that God takes a pleasure in doing the impossible? Here he is talking about, he's making a way in the wilderness. So I don't know who I'm going to be talking to tonight, but there may be somebody out there tonight that seem like they're in an impossible situation. It may seem like you don't have no way out. All I can tell you, man of God, woman of God, look up and live. Look up and live. It's not as bad as it seems. Sometimes we can't see the forest for the trees. In other words, we're too close to certain things. But God sits high and he looks low. He can navigate. He can tell us which way to go. He can get us out of these certain jams that we allow ourselves to get ourselves into. He said he'll make a way in the wilderness. And listen to this. And rivers in the desert. People don't see rivers in deserts. But God said, I'll make a river in the desert. He takes pride in doing the impossible. There's things that he takes pride in doing in our lives that's impossible. And he does it just for the simple fact that he loves you, that he loves us, and that he wants to show others that he's your God. There's some things he wants to do in your life to let others know that it's him that's doing things in your life and not you. That's why sometimes we get placed in impossible situations. Sometimes, excuse me, sometimes it's like our backs be against the wall, literally against the wall. And here comes God. And people wonder. And people wonder. People are amazed. Immediately something just came at my mom. I remember one time I didn't have a job. I had this nice, I loved that car. So I had this nice little 83 Toyota Super. And the timing belt went out on it. And I was relatively a babe in Christ. And at that particular time, I was being transformed. I was being molded and shaped and being prepared for ministry. So I had lost the job that I was on, and it was in sales. I kept trying to do a job. I kept trying to get a job that was in sales, but it was like every time I would get ready to get that job, I would come real close. It was like I could literally feel the door just slam in my face. Bang! And I was a little frustrated, but I wasn't really hurting. I wasn't really, you know, fretting, or I wasn't really worried about it. But during this time, you know, you're gonna have people who are gonna be like, you know, where's your God at now when you're in that type of situation, you know? And at a particular time, my dad was one of them. He thought I was using the Bible for a crutch, bless his heart. And we would go round and round sometimes about, you know, this, that, and this, and the third. And he even came right out and said, you know, hey, look, I don't care if you just went somewhere and flipped a burger somewhere. I will help you, you know, I will help you. And I knew my place in God. And I was saying, well, you know, God's going to make a way. God's going to make a way. God's going to make a way. And sure enough, I was at my grandfather's house. And at the time I was living with him, I just came out of a divorce too. And one day, lo and behold, I was at the house and had a knock on the door. And I went down to the door and someone gave me a check. And the check was enough to go and get my car fixed. So, praise God. So there I was, I got my car fixed, and I rolled back by my dad's house, and he was like, okay, how did that happen? How did this happen? You ain't working, you ain't did this, you ain't nothing. And I, you know, he knew me well enough to know I ain't knocked nobody over the head with stone no way. And my only response that I could give him was that I told you God was going to make a way out of no way. God did it. That was my only response that I could give him. Because it was God. Yeah, he used somebody. But it was God that laid that on somebody's heart for them to come give me a check. Same amount that I needed to get my car fixed. So it's stuff like that sometimes God does allow us to go through certain things in order to build our faith, in order to build our confidence in him, and in order to allow others to see that he's got us. See, sometimes when you take certain things from certain people, they want to control you. God, how did I get there? But yeah, there's sometimes when certain people offer you help or give you help, there's some that wants to put a stipulation or a rule or something else to go along with that. So, with God, our God is requiring that you obey him, that you love him, that you tell somebody else about him. I didn't know I was going to go there, but I'm glad I'm there. It feels good. Feels pretty good right now. Feel pretty good. But anyway, he said he'll make rivers in the desert. 20 verse says, the beast of the field shall honor me, and the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. Check this out. Now he's giving rivers in the desert, and he's doing this actually for us. But look, we're not the only benefactors to what God is doing. When God begins to do a new thing, others get the benefit. Others benefit as well. The first thing that came to my mind was, the second thing that came to my mind was the story of Joseph, how Joseph went through what all he went through. And once he got to the end of it, God blessed him and placed him in a place where he was on the second highest. The second highest to the king. No one else could overrun anything that Joseph said in that land but the king himself. And because Joseph was blessed in such a manner, he was able not only to take care of that country, but he could also take care of his kinfolks, his brethren, and his dad. So a lot of times, you know, when God do a thing like that, it's going to be beneficiary to others as well. The other thing that came to my mind, the first thing that came to my mind, was I can remember, this is another time that I was early in my Christian walk. It had been raining, and I was walking down the road, and there was a puddle of water on the right-hand side of the road. And as I was walking beside that puddle, something, I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was an acorn. I don't know, twig, what. Whatever it was fell into the water. And when I saw that something had hit the water, I saw the ripples, the circles, and it kept going outward, outward, outward. It was more than one ripple. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You drop something in there, and you'll see a little round circle with a place. It went in it, and you'll see several different circles come out around that circle. And as I watched that circle go outward, I heard the Lord say, that's how I move. He said, that's how I operate. He said, I'm very precise He said, I touch what it is that I really want to touch. He said, but whatever I touch is affected by what I touch, who I touch. So everything around you, once you get saved, like for us, once the hand of God has been on us, we make a difference. Others around us see that change. Others around us either want what we got or they run for what we got, run from what we got. But anytime God touches any one thing, it affects. It affects. There's a ripple effect that goes out from whatever it is God touched. God knows what it is he's doing when he touched, what he want to touch, when he want to touch, and how he want to touch. And a ripple effect place. Change takes place. Blessings, and a lot of times, take place. So I'm just saying this. Let's look at some things and just be encouraged about what it is that God be doing when he be doing the certain things that he be doing. When he said, I'm taking you to a new place. Listen, that particular scripture where he said, I'll take you places and I'll give you houses that you didn't build. I'll give you land. It was, he did stuff like that. He's still God the same yesterday, today, and forever. I hope I'm encouraging somebody, anybody that might be kind of like in low to bar today. I'm just here to try to tell you that God's doing a new thing. And it shall spring forth. And so you will see it. You will see it. And so he does it. Or we'll do it. Let's look at Isaiah 42. Did I say 42? Yeah, 42. Am I in the right place? Isaiah 42. He said, and I will bring the blind by a way that they know not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. I will bring the blind by a way they knew not. I know we're talking about, physically blindness. I really believe it. He's talking about spiritual blindness. Because when he's taking us different places, even in the spirit realm, these places are new to us. They're foreign to us. And a lot of times, because they're new and because they're foreign to us, a lot of times we move in fear. Or sometimes we get stuck in fear. Yeah, we'll do that too. Sometimes fear has a way of paralyzing it. I don't know. See, I watched birds and I watched stuff like that growing up and all that. And I've seen certain cats sometimes. They'll get so close up on a bird and we used to call them charm. We used to live charming the bird. But that, if he could ever get that bird to look into his eyes, sometimes that bird would just freeze to the place where he couldn't move. And at the last second, he'll try to move, but it's too late. The cat's got it. Sometimes fear will cause us to be paralyzed like that. But God said, I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. He said, and I will lead them in paths that they have not known. He said, I will make darkness light before them. And that's what we were saying earlier, that, you know, when you're not of God, when you haven't been born again, when you have not received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, we're endowed at that point, or we are then in a point where we really can't see. We're walking in darkness. We're walking in darkness. That's why he said, it's Nicodemus, you know, except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. That's a twofold meaning. Actually, you can't see the kingdom of God that's actually here on earth, and you can't see the kingdom of God that's in heaven except you be born again. And what I mean by that is that the other scriptures, but then Corinthians, it talks about that to the natural man, the spiritual things are foolishness to him. So because you haven't been born again, you really can't see some of the things that God is doing. That's why even in the plan of salvation, it says faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But how can you hear except there be a preacher? It takes someone that's in the light to be able to tell you about the light, bring you from the dark into the light. So God is continuously working and always bringing us from a dark place into the light. And he's always making crooked things straight. In other words, he's taking away the struggle. You know, there was an old song for a long time. People were singing that song. It became a hit, I believe, where they were singing, I'm coming up the rough side of the mountain. Coming up the rough side of the mountain. But somebody finally got a hope to a piece of revelation and said, you ain't supposed to be trying to come up the rough side of the mountain. Because God told you, if you got a size of a mustard seed, you're supposed to speak to the mountain. Make a lot of sense to me. Make a whole lot of sense to me. Because God wants us to exercise our faith. He wants us to exercise our faith. He wants to make the crooked path straight. The more I grow in God, the more I realize how much God not only loves us and cares for us, but I realize how much He wants to do for us. You know, we've had so many people that had this mentality where they say stuff like, you know, well, God, he's just not going to give it to you in a silver platter. I beg the difference. That's a thing that God has given unto me, all but the silver platter. I thank God for it. And I praise God's holy name. And we're just here to testify him and glorify him and let other people know that the God we serve is not a God that's a respecter of person. What he'll do for me, he'll also do for me. Or what he's done for me, he'll also do for you. In the 17th verse, it says, they shall be turned back. They shall be greatly ashamed that trust in graven images that say to molten images, you are our God. Let me talk about this a little bit, because what a lot of saints don't understand is that we do certain things that upset God. And a lot of times we don't realize that we're doing it. Or we don't realize that we're upsetting God. It talks about turning back and going to graven images and molten images and saying that, you know, those things are God. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going on, but I'm hearing more and more tales of people who believe we're talking about, you know, trying to do away with evil spirits by burning sage. And actually what you're doing, you're opening up portals for evil spirits, because God is not in that sage stuff. God is in his word. Psalms 91, he talks about it. He says in Psalms 91, he says, no plague, no evil, no pestilence to come nigh thee, nor thy dwelling place. That word is a promise. And what you have to do is speak that word and put that word into effect instead of running somewhere trying to get some saved. Instead of somewhere trying to get somebody to read some tea leaves for you. Instead of speak the word instead of trying to go somewhere and find out what a horoscope is. Listen, matter of fact, when you talk about horoscope, the first part of the word, horror, should run you in another direction. Horror, you get it? Horror, scary, horoscope. But no, a lot of us are clinging on to that kind of stuff. I've had people come sometimes come and ask me, you know, different stuff like, you know, what's your sign? What's your sign? I said, well, it used to be Capricorn. And they look at me funny. They look at me strange. What do you mean? Used to be. I say, it's not that anymore. I got born again. And because I got born again, that's no longer part of me functioning that. It has no hold on me. I try my best to be led and governed by the Spirit of God. So there you have it. If you feel like you're in a rough place, if you feel like your back is against the wall, be patient. It very well could be that God is doing a new thing. You may feel like you're in the wilderness right now. And trust me, I know about the wilderness experience. Yes, I know about the wilderness experience. And most of the time, it comes to shape you, cause growth. But a lot of times, it happens during the time of your new conversion. I know that's one time that when I first really hit it that first time. And then sometimes later on, you may go through it again. But it's all a part of getting to know God, to experience God, and learning how to trust Him. There's one thing to have faith. Faith is good. But without faith, no man can please the Lord. But there's a point where God will require you to move from faith into trust. You know, the thing of faith is a time when it's by Him and through Him that you move and have your being. He will tell you to do this, and tell you to do that, tell you to do this. But then there's other times once you get through that season of trust, I mean, from faith, He'll take you into trust to where He's saying, okay, take your hand off, I want to do it for you. And that's a hard transition sometimes, because sometimes for a long time, for in faith, a lot of times you have moved in faith for a very long time. And then when you look from faith to trust, you have to take your hands off and let God do what it is He said He's doing. Anyway, to God be the glory. It's been good. Again, we thank God for the opportunity to pray for the bread of life. We hope that someone was enjoying it. We hope that it brings a blessing to someone. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Kim and Kim, for the opportunity again. And again, before we leave, we just like to say, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, and you like to receive Him as your personal Lord and Savior, all you have to do is repeat after me. Also, there may be someone there who don't know. You may think that you're saved, but you don't know. You haven't quite nailed it down yet. If you like to do that, just repeat after me as well. And God will save you. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that God raised Him from the dead on the third day with all power in His hands, you shall be saved. So, if you want to be saved, just repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I come to you as a sinner. I believe that you gave Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. I believe that on the third day you raised Him from the dead. ahead with our power in your hands. I confess this with my mouth, and I believe it in my heart. And you said, if I did so, I shall be saved. So I'm asking you to save me, Lord. Come into my heart. Wash me in your blood. Make me a new creature in Christ Jesus. And I renounce Satan. He has no place in my life. In Jesus' name, I pray and I thank you, Father, for saving me. I thank you for making me a new creature. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you said that prayer with me and you like more prayer, you can contact me, Facebook, Brian Blessing Game. You can contact me also on Snapchat, Brian Blessing Game. And you can contact me on Instagram, Brian Blessing Game. I'll be glad to pray with you and pray for you. Now, with that, we're going to say good night. But as we say good night, remember, whatever you can do, whatever you do, do it in decency and in order. But most of all, do it for his glory. Again, I'm Apostle Ryan Glassengame, along here with my beautiful host, Dr. Kimmy Kim. Dr. Kimmy Kim, will you please take us out? Good night.
As I look out in the world, troubles are the same. I'm gonna fall down on my knees and call on Jesus' name. Now I'm here to testify how he brought me through. What God did for me, he'll do the same for you.
The Lord, he worked it out.
Yes, he
for
did.
You.
Without
the
a
Lord
doubt, gave me the victory.
The Lord has made a way,
made a way.
That
He did.
Oh yes, I made it through the storm.
There was a time when my life was very hard. Found myself locked out in the cold.
Worked it out.
Yes, he did.
He worked it out.